to give our domestic producers an opportunity to communicate with their customers. We think that people do want to buy local food. They do want to buy domestically produced food, both for safety and to support domestic producers, but they've been unable to make intelligent choices in the grocery store because giant corporate powerful interests have blocked that ability.
So, where is the bill now? The House of Representatives has already passed their version of the bill. Last week, the full Senate was scheduled to begin debate on the proposed bill brought forth by the Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry. However, things didn't go as planned when a number of random amendments were attached to the bill by various senators. Amy Woodeman.
So we have the House bill that passed at the end of July, and the Senate Agriculture Committee passed their bill a couple of weeks ago. It was supposed to be debated on the Senate floor starting last week, and it's been a total stalemate right now, a disagreement between the Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and the Minority Leader Mitch McConnell over the kinds of amendments that can be introduced to the Farm Bill. Part of the situation here is that the Farm Bill is the last big vehicle for amendments that's going to be debated in Congress before the end of the year. So you have a number of senators who want to introduce amendments that have nothing to do with the Farm Bill, but they want to get it through this year. And so right now there's been well over 200 amendments that have been filed to the Farm Bill. And so there's a disagreement about how many can be introduced, whether or not they have to be germane or relevant to the Farm Bill. And so we've got a complete breakdown right now. When they come back from break, the first week in December, may take up the Farm Bill then and vote on amendments. Even if they did, it's highly unlikely that they would finish debate and that the bill would go to conference committee and be complete before the end of the year. That's looking more and more unlikely. I can say with almost 100% certainty that we're going to be having a 2008 Farm Bill.
In part two, we hear more about the changes in food production that have been occurring with or without the Farm Bill. We explore citizen involvement in the Farm Bill and grassroots movements for change, including buy local campaigns, cooperative models, farmer-to-consumer connections, and programs to encourage new farmers. We also hear about the status of a historic case of racial discrimination by the USDA and attempts for redress in the Farm Bill. All this and more in part two of this very special Farm Bill feature. That's it for Sprouts. You've been listening to an in-depth discussion of the 2007 Farm Bill. Contributions this week came from Molly Stentz and MJ LaPlay. Production assistance came from KP Whaley, all of WORT Community Radio, Madison, Wisconsin. Sprouts is distributed and coordinated by Pacifica Radio Network. Thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts, to showcase it nationally, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I'm Sarah Brown for WORT in Madison, Wisconsin. Thank you for listening and see you next week on Sprouts.
Hi. And coming up next on Free Radio, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides, the Turkey Day edition. Stay tuned. It's November 22nd, 2007.
Yes, you're smiling, and I know why. The sun is shining in your eyes. Let's go to the garden down by the sea. We'll pick some flowers for the sky to see. You've been lonely, take a walk with me, you'll be glad. I know you, and you know me. Forget that darkness, we're by the sea. The sun is shining and the sky is blue. The garden's sweet and so are you. We've been lonely, we've been sad. Let's take a walk together, we'll both be glad.
And that was Downtown Dave from his CD way back in, gosh, where was it? Well, I think it was the earlier part of this decade. And the name of that particular number, Let's Go to the Garden. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org, in case you're listening to us on the computer. My name is Robert Norris, and this is a two-hour show I do every Thursday night. Concerns itself with exploring voices from the street and also more particularly, voices about injustices on the street around poor and homeless people, which it's artificially inflated the concern around Thanksgiving, and so in a way it's the time for homeless activists to gather and start to raise the issues, because this is the time when people between Thanksgiving and Christmas are conditioned not merely to shop like mad rats, but also to pay some fantasy attention to the plight of their fellow woman and man, supposedly, but, well... It's the season of caring, the season of sharing, the cold season when they open up the armory until April, so you get about a space, not much space, but space for, in theory, 100 people at night out of 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people who are out there on the streets. I'm going to be playing a little tape this evening from a number of places, one from the Homeless Service Center, I should say from the Veterans Building's Thanksgiving meal. We kind of did a little analysis of the Homeless Service Center. Thank you, Franklin Williams, on Sunday. And unfortunately, that's one of those rare shows that for some reason the file got corrupted. So those of you who want to rehear the Sunday show will not be able to do it. And it didn't record here in the studio either. So the Sunday show, unless somebody actually made a tape of it, which I suppose is possible, but nobody has mentioned it to me yet, has been lost. If anybody does have has made a copy of that show, which was a long one. It started about 8:15 and went all the way with some breaks because of original transmission problems to 1 o'clock on last Sunday, which was, I guess, the 18th. But if you did make a tape of that, please let me know. I'd love to be able to borrow it, upload it, and even if you recorded only parts of the show, let me know. We had a great debate with Anita Henry. Token Tim Rinker is never going to speak to me again because of the grilling I gave him on the air. I kind of feel a little bit bad about that, even though I really appreciate his work. I also frankly appreciate the need to speak frankly on issues around Measure Z, the lowest enforcement for marijuana. Crippled commission that was created by initiative by the city voters and then, first sued and then negotiated out of existence by Ben Rice, who is attorney for Theodora Carey, one of the proponents of the measure. And we'll see if Anita Henry, who I'm also going to give a hard time unless she files Public Records Act requests, as I've suggested she should do, unless she gets those Public Records Act requests filed at the police department and gets the records of every single one of the 380, I believe, marijuana arrests from the last year so she and others on the commission can examine whether, in fact, they were the lowest enforcement priority during the last year as required by the police department, or whether they were, let's say, not applicable because of other factors like where perhaps they took place on public property or perhaps they took place involving minors. But that remains to be seen based upon the analysis and oversight of the Measure K Commission, not the police department, not the staff member who staffs the other city commissions and as close liaison with the police department, Tina Scholl. You know, however objective she may want to be, and I frankly don't have a lot of confidence in her and based on what she's been doing. Although I guess anybody can learn and get corrected. I tend to feel anybody connected closely with the city bureaucracy is just a bad source to rely on. You need to have independent sources to rely on. And the whole point of the commission was to independently examine the question of whether marijuana, recreational marijuana use, was being, in fact, relegated to the lowest enforcement priority. So we'll see if that happened. The activists who created this commission have, it's not so much that they didn't join the commission that bothered me. It's more that they didn't monitor what their own attorney was doing and that they didn't monitor the situation in other cities, as I requested and suggested, and that they did a very limited, you know, action, and maybe that's all that activists can do in Santa Cruz these days is limited action. I don't know. Though it looks like certain folks up at the university are putting us all to shame. There's a new long-distance resistance issue out here in the studio, issue number 1, 2007, having to do with the people fighting for against the university expansion, the tree sitters, that shows somebody's doing something, and my hat's off to them. So let's turn right now, and very shortly I'm going to invite my studio guest, Craig Canada, to join me, but he's making himself as comfortable as can be, considering he's going to be spending the night outside in the cold after having expected a relatively decent Thanksgiving season. He got the short shaft from apparently some local motel owners who he's going to give you an analysis of, and it's not going to be pleasant. But, hey, reality is important for us to face. Anyway, let's hear a little from this is the demonstration that happens every Sunday outside the bookshop Santa Cruz. I call it the boycott bigotry demonstration. Some people don't like the word boycott. They think it's too mean or inaccurate with regard to how we're treating bookshop Santa Cruz. Ryan Coonerty, Vice Mayor Ryan Coonerty's bookshop Santa Cruz, I urge people to boycott it because of their Coonerty's support for anti-homeless laws as the chief politician in this town and who will soon be the mayor. I believe that's going to happen on Tuesday. He'll be appointed by the city council. And, of course, the store is owned by Neil Coonerty, the supervisor, an even more powerful position. He gave us the anti-homeless laws of 1994. Anyway, here's a little bit from that protest. It happens weekly. This is from the week, I guess, of the 7th. November 7th, and you'll get a sense of, I think it's November 7th, I'll correct myself if I'm wrong, but here we go, some voices from the streets, and after that we're going to hear some Thanksgiving cheer from the line at the Thanksgiving meal at the Vets Hall, And, of course, commenting on this throughout will be myself and, if he wants to, Craig Canada is also in the studio and, as I said, kind of making himself ready to deal with some of these issues. And you can, too, can also join this whole discussion. The phone number to call in is 427-3772, area code 831, if you're outside the area. 427-FRSC. We are indeed Freak Radio Santa Cruz. 427-3772. Give me a call. If you're a little bashful, you don't want to be on the air, but you want to get in touch with me, my number and the number of HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, is 423-HUFF, 423-4833, 423-HUFF. So, on air, it's 427-FRSC. Off air, it's 423-HUFF.
Well, it's about 2:15 out here in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz. We have a crowd standing in front of the bookshop listening to these Mexicana honky singers. We have a sleeping band table set up along with the red colorful box, the sleeping band lawsuit, as well as Dangerous John Teal King's table against the L-Bam spraying. And it looks like quite a crowd of folks. And they're getting... All right! And we got some people shaking it up to the music. And the display devices are set up around the Scribner statue. And again, people getting the attention are the folks who are listening out of the, or playing the music. It looks like about 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 or 45 people just listening to the whole thing. Well, we're talking with
Steve.
Steve, you just got back from Oregon and Washington?
Washington State. Olympia, Washington, and the police are one of the worst violations of brutality and on homeless.
That's where they're trying to stop the Stryker Brigade weapons or vehicles from going to Iraq, right?
Right. Yeah, and generally they're beating up on the homeless quite a bit, violating people for minor offenses like sleeping, trespassing, and generally they'll just roll right up on you even if you're not camping and start going right after you.
How long were you there?
2 days.
And I know that Olympia had a big protest on behalf of homeless people at the beginning of the year. What's happened with that?
Well, they decided that they'd get quiet down for a minute, and then they started running them out of town again. That's the way they usually handle it. Washington State is one of the worst states, so they'll pick you up for anything or just fabricate a crime and throw you in jail. And then it makes it to the point where you just want to leave the state. It's a pretty rough town.
And how long were you there?
Exactly 2 days. And within 2 days, they just zeroed in on me because I had a bicycle with 60 pounds of gear.
And give me an example of what happened.
Well, I was next to a boat yard in the middle of a field, and they turned around and saw me breaking up my camp, and they turned around and threatened to have me arrested for trespassing, illegal camping, disturbing the peace, and about four other violations, and then they ran my name. And they said, if I see you again, I'll ticket you for everything you can.
So was that your, what was your next stop?
Oh, then I started heading south, and I was followed all the way most of the state of Washington by the police.
Really? You're a popular figure up there.
No, I'm not a popular
figure. You're an unpopular figure up there.
Just
the focus of police attention.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Anything happen in Oregon at all? Or?
Nothing happened in Oregon. I was treated fairly decently and without any problems at all. But when I got to further near the city of San Francisco, I was arrested for camping.
Where was that?
Presidio, which is a federal campground or an unofficial campground, and it's military police, and they arrested me for a warrant.
You were taken into custody for a warrant for?
Illegal camping.
At the Presidio?
From the.
So when had that previous citation been issued?
Well, that was 2 years ago, It was a camping ticket that went to warrant, and then they turned around and they held me for one day and released me. But they had six police officers arrest me, and
yeah,
I didn't...
You're a much wanted figure.
Well, I didn't even turn around and disturb the peace, but I thought it was kind of ironic to have six people gang up on me as if I was America's Most Wanted.
Well, they got to have something to do. You know, times are slow.
That's true. Yeah, I think I was part of a training or something.
So you went to the San Francisco jail or Presidio jail?
I went to the San Francisco jail. They released me after 24 hours and retrieved my property. They were nice about giving me back my property, though.
And you weren't charged with anything?
No, time served and released, and that was it.
You pled guilty?
No, I never actually went to a court. They gave me a 30-day continuance to clean up the ticket, and that's what I did after that.
And how did you clean up the ticket?
I had to appear in court where the warrant was issued and show in person, and they released me on time, sir.
Now it's 2020.
So that was it.
And now you're back again like a bad penny, eh?
Yeah, they can't get rid of me, huh?
Well, there we are. We've been talking with?
Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Have a good day.
But no hassles in Santa Cruz.
I've been treated really respectful. I've been given one warning about sleeping on the beach, and generally I was treated pretty decently in respect. But the fine, I was told now, is $200 for sleeping on the beach.
Really? Who told you that?
It was the Coast Guard or Lifeguard, Harbor Patrol right near the lighthouse. And they said that... they're going to give me a warning. They gave me a warning, and then they said the next time they give me a $200.
You might be damaging the sand, you know, if you sleep on the beach.
Oh, I'm afraid I'm a...
You've got to keep those things in mind, right? Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, no problem.
And it's an interesting question as to whether it may well be that the fines under some special state code for sleeping on the beach is an additional $100. The fine for sleeping in the city on public property or in your own vehicle, even if legally parked, is $97 if you want to go pay the bail outright. And it's going to be an interesting question to see what they do with sleeping tickets that come up after November 15th when the armory opened. Tickets prior to that have generally been dismissed, provided you trek on out to the homeless service center, get the attention of Miguel Banuelos, and I think that's his first name, and then come back to court, show it to the referee or to one of the judges, and then you can, you know, if you go through all this, they make a court date and so forth. All, of course, for the right to sleep in court, when the reality should be that the police officer approaches you. If he has no legal shelter for you, should be prepared to face a federal lawsuit if he or she harasses you, arrests you, or interferes with you in any way if you're not doing anything other than sleeping or trying to cover yourself up with protective clothing, unless that officer has a place for you to go. So that, of course, is the procedure and the message of the Jones settlement in Los Angeles and the Spencer settlement in San Diego, the two of the largest cities in California, based upon the Jones decision, which has been vacated, which means because they settled, it's no longer on the books to be quoted as precedent. But three judges did rule, two of the three judges, that arresting a homeless person for sleeping is cruel and unusual punishment if there's no shelter available. You simply can't do so because it becomes a way of punishing a person for being homeless. And that's the basis that we here in Santa Cruz, with attorneys Kate Wells and David Beauvais, and we're going to be meeting again on December 1st at Loudon Nelson at 4 o'clock, come on down, are going to be addressing the issue primarily using that basic argument that Santa Cruz at night has no legal sanctuary for people to go to. I mean, once the armory is filled up, which is the 100 people, and, you know, there's no place for people to go. And if a police officer comes upon you or a ranger comes upon you at night, they don't have a legal place for you to go anyway because you're not allowed in the armory at night. You have to be there. You have to go in relatively early in the afternoon, at least by mid-afternoon, and you have to line up and so forth. You have to have your ID in order. And that excludes a number of people for a number of reasons. But in any case, by the time the officer approaches you, there's no legal place for you to go. And it's for sure that for the overwhelming majority of people, there's no legal place to go. So that's going to be the argument we use. And if you've been given sleeping tickets, or if you're in danger of being given sleeping tickets, or if you want to sign on to help with this lawsuit, do give a call to the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Or you can call this show directly and talk about your experiences. A number of people did today in the Thanksgiving line in front of the Veterans Hall meal. And the number to call here on air is 427-3772, 427-FRSC. I'll be taking those calls. This, by the way, that we're listening to, this tape is of the last Sunday. And so I believe it is the, I think it's the 18th of November. And it's, again, in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz, where we do the Boycott Bigotry Protest every week. And we encourage people to come on down, volunteer to help fight the lawsuit, fight for the lawsuit, fight against the sleeping ban, and essentially send a message to the merchant community of Santa Cruz, particularly as the shopping season comes up. We are not going to let them off the hook while they essentially support a city council administration that criminalizes people who do what they have to do every night and have no option, that is to say, fall asleep after 11 o'clock at night. And, of course, the situation has been made worse by laws backed by the Mayor Riley and Vice Mayor Coonerty, soon to be Mayor Coonerty, Bookshop Santa Cruz chief worker, which essentially criminalizes people who duck into a parking garage for shelter at night or who walk into a parking lot and try to socialize, again, an anti-homeless measure primarily. And we now have a phone call. I think we have a phone call. You calling in? Looks like the phone caller started but then gave up. Don't give up. 427-3772. Back to the tape of last Sunday.
Steve, you have some information about Eugene, Oregon?
Right. Eugene, Oregon, I actually heard a broadcast show about you on the radio. And Eugene's a big advocate for the homeless as well. And they had a previous recorded show of you going on. And that was sometime back this year. And they had a live broadcast of you going on there and issues about the same driving tactics that were being applied in Eugene and other towns. So that's all I got to say.
Eugene, I know they have a car camping program that recently opened up, or at least I was told that.
Yeah, they do, but they kind of pushed it to the point where it's such a small area that it can only accommodate 30 cars.
And this is, when did it be, and does it extend all winter, or what's the story with it?
They have no winter shelter to speak of, so they have it all year round, but it's in a very refined area, and it's gotten to the point where they're limiting the amount of cars. But people are now camping in the churches with permission, and sometimes they're being arrested on the church campgrounds with permission of the pastor to camp on the doorstep, and then they get arrested right there on the doorstep. So they're fighting that.
Any legal defenses happening around this? Or
I'm not aware of what's going on, but apparently somebody wants to take some kind of legal action about that. So that's, I don't know too much information about
that. How long were you in Eugene?
I spent 2.5 weeks there.
And are there, can homeless people sleep legally somewhere? What's the story?
No, not legally, but a lot of people go by the riverbanks. It's kind of dangerous. Some people get beat. Others get sighted. Generally, the river areas are real rural. There's nothing out there, no homes, tracks, or anything. But the police do patrol with bike patrols, and they'll take your sleeping bag if you're not there and, or give you a citation on your camping gear and then give you 24 hours to move.
Did anyone begin any legal challenges, you know, because there was the Jones decision, which was rescinded or, let's say, vacated about a month ago in Los Angeles, settled the case. But there had been a decision that said, based on the L.A. law, that you couldn't arrest someone for sleeping at night unless there was really no shelter emergency or shortage, which, of course, isn't true almost anywhere. So, but that's true in a 9-state area. So was there any kind of discussion of challenging any of the laws based on that decision?
There's a homeless advocate center in Eugene, and they were trying to fight it. It got quietly squashed. Not much happened to it, and it was because not enough people showed up in their own defense. They kind of expected the individual to do all the legal action. They needed those people in person to show up. And a lot of them just faded away. Basically, it got squashed. I didn't hear anything after that.
And this was, the last few weeks? Or?
This is about 2 months ago.
Okay. And we've been talking with?
Steve again.
And there you are, Steve again.
Okay.
Boycott Bigotry at the Bookshop Santa Cruz.
You didn't know that you were in Eugene on the radio, huh?
Santa Cruz, the city that knows how to arrest the homeless. Sign our petition. Check it out. We have one of our workers, Bernard Klitzner, off to use a nearby bathroom, but not as nearby as the Bookshop Santa Cruz. And why is that, flyer giver, Rick? I don't know, Robert. What do you mean you don't know? You just told me. Now, come, no fibs now.
Well, if Bernard had been a better boy, he wouldn't be in the situation he's in. He's been banned from the bookshop.
Banned from the bookshop, Santa Cruz? How could that be? It's a progressive store.
Well, I don't know.
I can't imagine. The bookshop Santa Cruz would never ban a person for political opinions.
You wouldn't think so.
No, you wouldn't think so, would you?
No, but yeah.
Then again, you have to think again, I guess. Boycott bigotry at the bookshop Santa Cruz. Don't spend your money at stores that sell books from schnooks. Something like that.
Funny.
So. Step right up. Don't be shy. Santa Cruz, where it's illegal to sleep at night if you're a homeless person. Think about that before you buy from the bookshop Santa Cruz, where Vice Mayor Coonerty hangs out. Don't spend your bucks at bigoted spots. Got bigotry downtown. Ask before you buy at the bookshop Santa Cruz. How's it going?
Pretty good. I live in San Francisco, so I don't know if I...
Man, our first donation of the day, your name, sir?
My name's Ted, and I'm from San Francisco.
And why are you giving money to this questionable enterprise?
Well, see, this in San Francisco, and usually in San Francisco, the homeless are often kicked off in places like Golden Gate Park, and all they do is, the homeless don't have anywhere else to go, so they just go to other neighborhoods and so forth. And I think it's just an issue of harassment and classism.
Well, I see you have an anarchist press, AK press, sweat lodge thingy,
yeah.
And a hat with a red star on, indicating possibly left-wing sympathies. Are you homeless yourself, or simply one of the bourgeois sympathizers with the homeless?
I don't know if I call myself bourgeois, but I'm definitely sympathetic to the homeless.
Okay, whatever.
Have you filled out our survey about police, threat or menace? We're trying to determine if there's racial profiling going on in Santa Cruz or class profiling. What you've seen, if you've seen anything. If you have, feel free to cast your ballot here if you'd like.
I haven't really seen anything.
Or experienced anything?
No. I mean, not around here. So.
Fair enough. We'll take your money then. That's just great.
Okay.
You know who you've been talking with?
My name's Ted.
Thank you, Ted.
Thanks.
Why is it illegal to sleep in Santa Cruz if you're homeless?
Yeah.
Ask.
Actually,
Bookshop Santa Cruz co-worker Ryan Coonerty. He's the vice mayor.
We did a little demo.
What's up? Hi.
Hello.
That's cooking.
Rhino.
Hey, Robert. Hey, Rhino.
Yeah, I've seen you before. In fact, I was over in the city hall when you caused a little consternation.
No way.
Yes.
Me? Consternation?
Yes.
What did I do? What kind of...
Oh, you just behaved badly.
Again?
Yeah.
What did I do?
Oh, I forgot. If I kept track of everything you did...
Well, name
I
one
would,
thing.
I
one
wouldn't
thing.
Have any...
I just want to know one
I
thing. I hear this all the time.
Mental time to think about anything
just
else,
just one thing. That's all I need to hear.
Yeah. Well, that's your...
Can't remember
right
one thing.
He's a troublemaker,
thing.
First of all.
But what about the sleeping bag? What do you think of that yourself?
Well, I think you've got to be able to sleep any place you want.
Any place you want?
Yeah, any place you
in
want.
Your house?
Not
in my house,
depending on the sex and the age.
You're pretty careful about that, I guess.
Yeah, I am, yeah. I don't sleep with men.
Well,
that's for damn sure.
So I could send over some women to your house?
I'd find my own.
What if they need a place to sleep?
Why did you bring him over?
I'm interviewing. This is for free radio, man.
On the radio.
You're on the radio.
Yeah.
You're famous now.
Yeah.
Well, come on. Don't be bashful.
You don't have my permission to put that on the radio.
I don't need your permission. You're in a public place. You have no expectation of privacy.
I do have an expectation.
No.
Maybe I can get you locked up again.
Give it a try.
I may.
Right.
I damn
right.
well may.
Give it a try.
Let's take it easy now.
Invited this son of a bitch over. You didn't say I was going to be recorded.
I didn't know.
I had a tape recorder out. Anyway.
Makes him look more official.
Well, if you guys want to talk to yourselves, that's fine. I thought that you wanted to talk to me about something. I thought you guys.
I didn't motion you over here. He did.
Well, I didn't know who. I just noticed somebody.
I just said call the police on this guy. That's all.
Oh, well, I don't want to do that. Not at this time. Anyway, I wish you luck.
Well, I wish I could say the same for you.
Well, that's all right.
I think you kind of defeat your purpose, you know, on your aggressiveness.
Well, they don't do anything otherwise. That's the problem.
Well, that's not true.
Really?
Yeah. You get a lot further oftentimes by being
not
reasonable.
In terms of this particular issue, as far as I know.
No.
I mean, I've been around for 20 years watching it. I haven't seen them do anything.
I'm not going to argue with you. I got other things to do.
Okay, man. Well, you take care. Boycott bigotry downtown. Don't do business with bigots at the Bookshop Santa Cruz.
And since we actually have a live guest in the studio, it's time to turn to that guest, depending on whether he feels ready to be turned to. We're talking with Craig Canada. Hi, Craig.
Hi.
So I know I ran into you sitting outside at a bus stop at one of the actually new shelters. Is this a homeless-proof shelter? Do they have a bench that has a divider in the middle of it so you can't lie down?
No, but it's too narrow to sleep on, and it's also at a 1 or 2 degree angle. It's slightly slanted. But that's what that means, huh?
Yeah.
You can't hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you even before, but I'm wondering if they can hear you.
Oh, well.
So, Craig, you're a man who actually I was giving out articles of the Street Spirit, which featured you on the front page, the August issue of the homeless newspaper sold up in San Francisco and various places around the state. For homeless people to make money and survive, not a lot of money, mind you, but a little bit. Your story about getting a successful necessity defense dismissal of one of your cases, actually a couple of your cases, although that was followed a month later by the same judge turning around and essentially reversing herself without explaining why, Judge Deneen Guy. Wow. And you yourself you've spoken to me very briefly about a couple of incidents which I haven't really been able to explore with you in detail, ranging from discrimination, or I should say outright, sounds like outright fraud, the allegation you're alleging fraud, shady business practices at one of the motels, and also, did you mention you were banned at another coffee shop or some kind of...
Oh, it's so hard to keep track of. I was trying to recall today. I've been... Let's see. In the last 3 or 4 weeks, the Catalyst has asked me not to come back. I went in there and I they have pizza. I'd go in there and buy a pizza and a Coke and sit down. And they had wireless internet, and so I'd plug in my laptop and sit down there for several hours. And then I noticed this old man was playing piano, so I went in there and played ragtime. And they really went out of their way to let me know that they really appreciated that and enjoyed it, and I was essentially allowed to play there anytime I wanted to for a couple of weeks, but then they didn't like me hanging out there with my laptop. They said something about it being a bar at night, and so I left. And well, anyway, I didn't want to get into a long story about the Catalyst, but the Catalyst, Longs wouldn't, I guess I can't go in Longs anymore. They won't let me in without my bag. It was a couple of nights ago.
Explain how that went down, Craig.
Well, I walked in, and I have a backpack, and I have a rolling duffel bag, and so I parked my bag somewhere. They usually have a display of, like, stuff in the middle there, usually soft drinks or something, right when you walk in the door. So I parked my duffel bag next to that, and the security guard asked me to move it. This is about 12:30 at night. Somewhere he said it might be in the way, and I just looked at that, and I thought, yeah, if I heard a buffalo come through, I guess it would be. But I moved it, and so then he told me I had to take off my backpack. And I told him, I'm not leaving a $1,000 computer up there. And he said, fine, we won't ring you up. And so then, I don't know what was said. He started calling me Cupcake, and he started to get his pepper spray, and outside we were yelling. And I told him to call the fucking police and leave me alone. He said something about my attitude, and I said something about his attitude. You know, I don't like being treated like a piece of shit when I go into a store. I'm not a criminal, and I don't think that they ask women or anyone else. I'm sure that people go in there with backpacks on all the time. They don't harass them like that. But anyway, so there was that, and then How did I get off on that? Did you ask me what happened or something?
I'm trying to get a summary of the most recent activities of the Downtown Association, or I should say of some members. Actually, I don't even know if Longs or Catalyst are members of the Downtown Association, but they certainly are downtown businesses in Santa Cruz. Go ahead, Craig.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I guess in all fairness, I think the catalyst is probably not too happy with me standing outside smoking a bowl. I think that may have been their biggest problem, even though I don't think they like people hanging out there either. But, you know.
That's what you medicate on the avenue, and police officers are used to cluster around you as like flies around sugar when you did use smoking marijuana for medical purposes with your legal documentation. You're still doing that, but the police no longer bother you? Or?
No, they have not. Not since the last, not since the first court hearing, actually, have I been really bothered much by the police. Now, I believe it was the October 17th. I was staying with a friend up until October 17th, someone that I guess you would say became acquainted through me to the Sentinel forums. And so he started by asking me over a couple of nights to sleep, and I ended up staying with him from the first court date, or the second court date, actually, from the time of the second court date, whenever that was, hearing.
That was when you were denied the right to sleep
right.
by the necessity defense, where the judge reversed herself.
Yeah, it was a couple of days before that. About 6 weeks I stayed with him, and that ended October 17th, and leading up to is that I had been indoors for a while, and so the only harassment really that I've had from the police since the court dates, keeping in mind that I was indoors and pretty much out of sight, because I really wouldn't be hanging out all the time if I had a place of my own to hang out. But anyway, the only harassment that I've had was when I was sleeping, like the first couple of nights, police gave me a ticket. And this time they didn't harass me. They didn't bully me, you know, or intimidate me or rush me to get up and move or anything. They just gave me the ticket and left. And I went back to sleep, quite frankly, and didn't move or do anything. And that's been it.
One ticket since you got back outdoors again?
Right, yeah, I have a ticket I'm supposed to take care of by the 1st, right? I assume they'll issue a bench warrant, though someone told me that they don't do that unless it's more than like $400 or $500 in fines. And I only, so far as I know, I believe have maybe one or two tickets. I forgot now. I think it's one.
Yeah, they well, it's hard to figure out exactly what they do, but I think their procedure now is once you get a ticket, if you don't appear, they issue a failure to appear. They add a failure to appear-ish kind of charge, although not the same charge. And we've been trying to track this down, but I can't get an attorney, Kay Wells, where are you, to deal with this. And then when you don't, with that additional $400 charge is ignored, they send it down to Southern California where a $300 fine is added, and they send it to a collection agency. Now, what that does, of course, is it destroys any credit you may or may not have. But it does not necessarily involve any kind of warrant because, again, it's a little unclear, but it seems that they have now been infraction warrants, and a sleeping ban violation is an infraction, have been essentially they're doing something else. They're sending them instead to civil collections.
So if I understand you, then the penalty for being poor is to ruin your credit?
Yes, it's a brilliant scheme, cooked up, I'm not sure where. The idea is to take the pressure off the police and the courts and to pretend, and actually a lot of this has to do, of course, with people who are not as poor as some, but who are, you know, struggling middle-class people who may be in a similar situation making with minor infractions, and they figure they don't want to bother with warrants for them either. They just want to, you know, they don't want to have to book you into custody and all that stuff. So instead they simply tell you if you don't show up at this hearing, it's going to be another $300 fine. And people, are, of course, moved by money. We're talking with Craig Canada. If you want to call in and talk to him or recount your own experiences, perhaps what he's saying sparks a chord. 427-3772 is the phone number, 427-FRSC. You actually have been on the Sentinel forums. That's the online sort of a subsection of the Santa Cruz Sentinel, or should we say the Scotts Valley Sentinel, I'm not sure if they're now in Scotts Valley, a paper that actually it's a forum. You go back, you can talk about other topics, and you had one long topic about Lulu Carpenters and the discrimination you suffered there. We now have a caller. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Craig and Robert.
Happy Thanksgiving, Robert. It's Madison.
Hey, Madison.
Hi, Craig.
Hello.
Well, I had two quasi-homeless, really federal moles for dinner.
You had two what?
Quasi-homeless, they're really fences for the feds, federal moles at my house.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, this is, frankly, I tend to dismiss this as paranoia, Madison, but anyway,
No, it's not. And
how did your guest treat you?
A homeless person, a real one.
Yeah.
And I put a call into the Downtown Association to ask about where we set up a table for artists during this three-day job fest to help a friend of mine who's homeless. And I was told that artists are not allowed to set up downtown during that because everybody downtown spends so much money on their retail space. And it's like, no, half the people down there are laundering.
Okay, well, first of all, it's legal for anybody.
Laundering, oh my word.
Well, before we
now,
get
to... Now, did you notice all the t-shirt shops? Come on.
Okay, it's legal.
Do tell.
You too, it's legal to set up a your own art at a small table and even to offer it for donation or sale. That in fact, was a lawsuit won by Mike True. It wasn't won, it was settled, but, you know, based upon a federal court decision, I think, back east. So I think that the person who gave you that information is wrong, and you do have the right to set up your artwork and to display it, and many people do. Police will tell you that you can't sell it; you have to offer it for a donation. I don't think that's true either. But again, it's an area where the police don't understand what's going on, and that the most recent precedent I have is the case of Mike True, who sold his CDs downtown. He was arrested by Sergeant Baker. And Baker was, was sued for false arrest. True won the criminal case, and the civil case was settled for, I think it was $5,000, $10,000, $20,000.
Now Baker needs to be retired. I've seen him kicking people, etc. He's way out of control, and for the city, he costs us money. He should just be retired. That guy.
Madison, anything about what Craig and I are talking about, which is to say discrimination against individual homeless people because they got a backpack or because they smoke a bowl of medical marijuana outside legally?
No, the cops pretty much know, at least on Maple, we're not putting up with any of the garbage on either side of the fence. So
let me interrupt you, Madison. What exactly do you
define mean? Define garbage.
What exactly do you mean by garbage? Let's clarify here.
Well,
are you referring to, you know, let's say throwaway items or throwaway people?
All different facets of human and negative interaction.
Ah, I see. So you are
muggings to shootings to murders.
So you're referring to behavior, bad behavior.
And to me, it's
so you're not referring, let's say, to homeless people who are walking around with backpacks who may be poor.
Well, we know the few homeless this month or in the last 2 weeks that I saw, Craig was one and several that are like fencing for the feds or whatever. But the real ones, there were four.
Wait, are you going to expose Craig as a fence for the feds? This could be a real coup here.
You know, real out-of-line drunk men. And I tell
doesn't
them,
sound like Craig, actually. Maybe a little stone.
Craig is always very well-mannered. He has a southern...
Well, not always very well-mannered, but certainly frequently very
well-mannered. Well, I have seen Craig hundreds of times, and he has always been well-mannered.
Are you inviting him to stay the night tonight? He needs a place to crash.
Robert, I want a recording of this. Can we get the date and time, please?
Yes, definitely.
The date and time, I saw you.
So actually, go ahead, Madison. Are you offering your backyard for Craig here tonight?
Well, I had someone here the other night, and I'm not sure if she'll be back tonight, but I mean, sure, he can come and sleep on the floor. I just moved all my stuff out of storage. My house is full, but he's welcome to sleep on the floor.
That's a very generous offer, Madison.
Well, I've been there.
Well, right on for you.
I'll
direct him to your house, and you two can negotiate if he wants to do that. We'll see.
I think I know which one it is.
Yeah, Craig
knows
thinks
where I live. Yeah, he always has coffee around the corner.
All right. Well,
But I think that the city council needs to take a trip to the gardens of Fresno that are dug underground. And we need to get serious about getting green.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you for that. I'm going to roll with Craig's analysis because he has another.
Okay, happy Turkey Day to you, gentlemen.
And a gobble gobble to you. And thank you,
and
Madison, for your
love
generosity.
You. Okay. Bye bye.
Phone lines are open 427-3772. So I understand more recently, on top of the Catalyst and Longs and I don't know, I take it you haven't been invited back into Lulu Carpenter's after they bounce you for trying to use the restroom while you were a customer?
No, I haven't. And, you know, that thread just keeps coming up. It just won't die.
And so the thread you're talking about is Screw You Lulu, which is a thread that is kind of hard to find on the Sentinel forum, which you normally could find by, I guess you've got to go to the Sentinel website, then go to the side and click on Community, and then click on Forums if you want to find this very long, rather interesting, and rather abusive thread. In which, Craig, you have more patience than a dozen gurus in dealing with the torrent of abuse, although sometimes you do shout, metaphorically shout, and kind of sometimes literally shout.
Oh, I scream, go to hell.
Screw you, Lulu, and go to hell, right.
Rotten hell, I think, is what I end up screaming.
But what happened with your motel thing? Do you want to talk about that? I mean...
Well, yeah, my mother... booked, made a reservation for the Motel 8 over there on River, 321 River, Riverside. And she made it a month ago. I was looking at my email here trying to look for the date. But let's see if I can find the date here. She made it over a month ago.
What's the motel name, yeah?
Super 8 or, well, let me get up here.
And
what is it called? Yeah, Super 8, Senate Super 8. It's the Patels. But, and I was looking over. I've got a copy of the, actually, the reservation confirmation here, which I cannot read all of because there's no wireless access here, and part of it's, but it looks like the important parts, you know. She booked the room. She got a special rate, $129 for two nights. It was supposed to have been Wednesday and Thursday. One queen bed room smoking, and she'd done this before, and I went over there and I showed up, you know, and they asked me for my credit card and said, you know, we're not going to charge you. This is just, you know, I don't know what for, but that was about a year ago. But this time I went in and they told me I had to pay. They wanted my credit card, and first of all, they noticed that I didn't have a car. I went across the street, you know, it's split on different sides of the street there, halves on one side and halves on the other. Evidently, the place that I stayed last year was is now non-smoking. And I went by there first, and the lady checked the reservation for me. She noted my name. She said, yes, it's across the street in the smoking part. So I went over there, and they told me I had to pay. My understanding was that it had been prepaid. My mother booked two nights for me last night and tonight, and also for Christmas. And they asked me about the license on my car, and I said, I don't have a car. They never asked me for identification, and she told me I had to pay, and so I left. I called my mother from the lobby. She didn't answer the phone, and she didn't call me back until this morning. And I called the motel back at 4:30, 2 hours later, and I said, are you telling me that I have to pay? Because I understand this is prepaid. I hadn't heard from my mother, so I didn't know for sure. And they said, yes, you have to pay for it. I know when I was talking to the desk clerk, she said something about, if your mother pays for it or someone else pays for it, then we have to get their driver's license, and it takes a month, and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't really listen to it. All I wanted to know was, do I have to pay for this? Why do you want my credit card? And I never really got a clear answer. Well, she did give me a clear answer. I had to pay for it if I wanted the room.
Did you get her name?
No, I didn't. I did not.
Always a wise precaution.
Well, I was just too really upset about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was extremely upset about the whole thing. I had really been looking forward to lying in a bed, being clean, and being left alone. For me, being out on the holidays is torture. It's cruel to have to deal with all the crap out there, especially on the holidays. Anyway, I really wanted to be out inside, preferably with the covers pulled over my head.
It sounds like you were, you know, that room had been reserved for you, that had been at a rather significant cost, $129. And
oh, yeah, something like $70 a night.
And of course, I haven't seen the documentation, so I've got no idea.
It's right here.
Right, and I believe you. I mean, I'm just saying I haven't examined it. But the fact of the matter is, it sucks. But it's an example of, it sounds like a kind of habitual institutional discrimination that happens to a person who looks poor and doesn't have a car, has a backpack, and so forth. What do you think, Craig?
Yeah, I think so. I really do. I feel very much like that they knew that there was nothing I could do about it. They didn't want me there. I just, you know, though it looked like there was nobody else there. In fact, I remember when I went over there at 2:30 yesterday afternoon, that was the most deserted street I've ever seen. There was nobody anywhere to be seen. I've never seen any place in this town that deserted.
Interesting. Well, I know that there have been some shady practices going on at some of the other motels, particularly those which...
Robert, can I just want to... Okay, I've got a date 10/20 here, an email from my mother. I have made a reservation for you for the nights of 21st. This is on 10/20 at 9:44 in the morning.
About a month ago.
Right. And I'd like to just another email here from my mother. I did call up the police this morning. And subsequent to that, I've got an email from my mother here. She's saying that they won't tell her whether they have charged her credit card for you. This is the email from my mother. I'd really like to read it. I tried to do something to make your Thanksgiving a good day for you. I made the hotel reservation because I was afraid that because it was a holiday that you might not get in a hotel if you did not have a reservation. I made that reservation in October. When I called Super 8 customer service, I thought they would just correct their error. The person I talked to told me it would take 7 to 10 days to investigate my complaint. I have not had anything like this happen previously. I was so angry, but got no results, and they would not even tell me if they had charged my credit card. I had already made a reservation for you at Christmas, and had planned to send some money also. I have canceled the Christmas reservation. I cannot do anything more until I know whether or not my credit card has not been charged.
So it's interesting. It sounds like they're trying to give the runaround, because if it has been charged, they're at fault, it sounds like. And they don't want to acknowledge that. I mean, that's one speculative answer I have. Of course, you know, there's a series of procedures for following through on these kinds of complaints, which are good, but it's particularly onerous. I mean, the thing that if you had a legal team behind you, you know, you'd think for you to do is take a taxi to another place, get a room, and then, you know, go see a doctor the next day for stress and send them the bill for all this shit and take them to small claims court. But, of course, that's a fantasy in this kind of situation because you don't have any of those resources. But that's, in fact, what they should be doing. Every single error that they make that causes you pain, suffering, or expense, they have some responsibility for. They should be accountable for it. And of course, I have no illusions that they will be. We're talking to Craig Canada on Free Radio Santa Cruz. It's 101.1 FM, freakradio.org, nearing 7 o'clock on this gobble gobble day. Call in if you'd like, 427-3772. You've been scammed by the hotels or motels, hassled because you've been homeless, discriminated against for using medical marijuana or recreational marijuana, otherwise messed with, like to hear about it. Or if you got some positive things to say you think should be said, please give us a call, 427-3772. And a special thank you again to Madison for her offer of a place on the floor for Uncle Craig here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I don't know quite what to say. It's
Yeah, there you go. A woman who puts her floor where her mouth is may have a mighty big mouth, and Madison has a lot to say, but she also sounds like she's got a heart that may match it. Who knows? We'll see what's cooking. I'm going to return now for a moment just to keep us give us a break here, and also give all that flood of callers an opportunity to call in. A little more from the boycott bigotry demonstration of last Sunday in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz. Here we go.
Step up and ask us why before you buy at the bookshop Santa Cruz.
Okay, so that's
it.
No, it wasn't.
Robert, they want that book real bad.
Thank you.
So they can get in their
home.
What's that? Come vote here on whether you want to be sprayed again. Check it out. And also on how you feel the police are treating folks downtown.
What we were doing is we had two different kind of polls running. Well, one was a petition circulated against the light brown apple moth Checkmate spraying that particularly concerned the city council's responsibility in providing some kind of shelter for homeless people in Santa Cruz. You hear a lot from, you've heard from Madrigal and Porter, and they've made efforts to help the community organize against the light brown apple moth Checkmate spraying, at least delaying it until such time as there was some environmental impact study or some more results on the effects of this on human beings in urban areas, which apparently we don't have. But the city council members mentioned, Madrigal and Porter, have not called, clearly, for emergency shelter for homeless people on the days of the spring. Now, that might not be, it might be a ways off. It might be February or March, or who knows? And the weather gets unseasonably warm, they could start sooner. I mean, it's not really clear what they're going to do. The bad news around the LBAM moth spraying is, of course, as those who are covering it know, that the federal court ruled against the plaintiffs trying to stop this. And I guess there was some sort of supposedly sympathetic ruling. Oh, we want to get it out of federal court, the judge reportedly said, so that the state court can decide more rapidly and not use the fact that it's in federal court as an excuse. But, of course, that it can also be said equally strongly that the state court can say, oh, the federal court dismissed it, therefore we'll dismiss it too. That's a good precedent in that sense. I'm not, again, interested in devoting a lot of time to this particular subject in the abstract. I'm concerned with how it impacts poor and homeless people. And that's my focus. A little more now from the Bookshop Santa Cruz. And then I'm going to turn to some reports from the Thanksgiving line, which we had today. Plus a few reports from my own neck of the woods and a different police called to interfere with Public Records Act requests. Well, I've talked about that on the air before with respect to the sheriffs. Now, apparently the Santa Cruz police are being used to try to intimidate people from getting public records. That happened yesterday, and we'll talk more about that.
They're banning people because we're out here protesting because Vice Mayor Coonerty supports the sleeping van and voted for it, and we want to bring the public's attention to that fact.
Coonerty is a guy who's a big worker here at the bookshop, and his father owns the store. So we've been saying, don't buy from the bookshop because the vice mayor is a chief worker here, and he keeps it criminal for homeless people to sleep at night. So. And what do you think about that?
It's not right.
What's your name?
Alicia.
And Alicia, have you ever been homeless yourself?
I haven't been homeless per se. Like, I've been kicked out of my house and all, but I've had, thank God, friends to let me stay at their house, you know, but I couldn't imagine not being able to sleep anywhere. They have nowhere else to go.
Where are you from?
I'm from the East Coast, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
And have you been in town long?
2 months. I just moved here. So.
Are you a student, worker?
Student. I'm a student at the high school.
And if you can, let us know what the sentiment is at the high school around this sleeping ban issue. Are people concerned about it? Do they favor it? You might even take a few of these with you. Well, take a look at this ballot when you're finished with this. Thanks.
All right, yeah.
I believe Steve has just arrived. What's up,
okay,
Steve?
Okay, my last name is Warshower. And anyway, just saw right over at Long's. Is it Long's or Rite Aid over here?
It's Long's.
Okay, Long's Drugs. Some lady passed out. The police and the paramedics are watching. I went right by them, and I stood back maybe 10 or 15 feet to kind of watch what was going on. Mm-hmm. And then when it was over and they released her, I walked around the corner to use a payphone. The cop followed me over there. Mm-hmm. And gave me a hassle. He said, am I calling the police? And I said, no, standing next to the payphone. And I said, I'm going to use the payphone. And he says, do you have court? And I said, I'm done with court. All my warrants are clear. And he didn't even ask her ID me. He was really rude and arrogant as a young officer.
Security guard or
police officer?
He knew you from a previous incident? Or?
No, he just saw me walk by and decided to target me just now.
Do you know the name of the cop?
No, I didn't catch his name. He was young. He's about 6 foot tall.
See him again, let me know.
Yeah, I just thought I'd let you know. It's just they had no reason to stop me and act like I had a crime committed for using a payphone.
I'm sorry that he did that. And
no, but I just never encountered anything like this in Santa Cruz before.
It happens, as you can see.
Well, yeah, this is the first time I've ever had a problem in Santa Cruz.
Well, here, have you filled out this ballot yet? This talks about that issue, whether you feel you've been profiled. Grab one of these and fill it out and vote on it. We have a little hula hoop going on here and some music. It's about 3 o'clock. Things are getting... No, look at the woman. Look at the narrow hips on that purple woman. She is so cool. What's your name?
Joanne.
And you are?
And if you guys want to take a little field trip on.
And you guys are from?
Bakersfield.
And you have, who is that in the baby carriage?
Imran.
And you have a, what we're doing here is a couple of number of things. You just signed a petition about asking that there be shelter for homeless people against the spraying, and also that the spraying not happen without an environmental impact report. But we're also concerned about the rights of homeless people at night. Santa Cruz, the bookshop Santa Cruz, for example, we're in front of, is a store where the vice mayor is the chief worker, and he supports anti-homeless laws. So we're here saying, you know, boycott the bookshop, don't support anti-homeless laws. That's our deal. What's the story in Bakersfield for homeless people? Any sense of that?
Many homeless people, but no laws, I think, or they're not really enforced.
Right. Okay. You're not sure. Okay. Well, enjoy your stay in Santa Cruz, and don't get sprayed. Okay. Thank you.
Again, isn't it? It wasn't like in 88, and I'm from Massachusetts. We had a big homeless problem, but, you know, I don't think we see about it too much.
I have to admit, my sense of what the real figures are is really unclear. I just don't see any drop. So, and I think that, you know, the economy hasn't gotten better. I'm sure that the economy goes to some extent up and down, but, you know, and many people kind of cycle in and out of being homeless. Still, it's not better. I don't think in any significant way.
It's terrible that in our country that people have to, you know, not in America, that this is happening.
But we need our money to bomb Iran, right?
I know.
Oh, of course. That's a...
Believe me, I know.
All right, sign up here to bomb Iran, everybody. You can do it. We need some volunteers. You, step right up here. Now, we need you. Actually, we're not really. All right.
We're activists. I live in Germany. I'm a big activist.
Thank you.
Sign a petition to protect the homeless from the checkmate spread.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, you don't have to live here. It's anybody can do it.
It'd be helpful if you were here on the 8th and the 9th, so you could call this part.
What's checkmate?
That's the pheromone that they're spraying to distract the life on Applebox.
And this goes on every weekend, and it'll be happening again this weekend, probably, 2 o'clock, in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz, if you're interested in being a part of this, or in doing something else to, again, end the sleeping ban and the other laws that criminalize poor people in Santa Cruz. Give a call to the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. It's also a meeting of the Human Rights Organization on Saturday, day after tomorrow, at 2 o'clock at the Firefly Cafe, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And Firefly Cafe is at 131 Front Street. It's about it's right where Front Street starts turning toward the wharf. And check it out, 2 o'clock on Saturday, Human Rights Organization can use your help. If you don't want to come to meetings, can't stand meetings, well, volunteer to help by phone, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Call-in number here, however, if you want to call in, is 427-3772. Let's hear a little bit from the Thanksgiving crowd and how things went today down there. I must say, it was the friendliest crowd for me that I've ever had. Usually there are at least a few people who denounce me as a CIA agent, rich boy, clown, self-interested, self-promoter, you name it. I get all kinds of labels. This time, there was none of that, and there was a lot of warmth, friendliness, and appreciation. We had a table in front of the Veterans Hall where people were getting a turkey meal, hundreds of them, and we were giving out a little piece of literature, Human Rights Organization and HUFF members, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom members, two human rights organizations concerned with homeless civil rights issues, encouraging people to come to the December 1st Loudon Nelson 4 p.m. film, Dark Days, and then talk to the attorneys about the sleeping ban lawsuit if they want to be either a plaintiff or they want to be a volunteer helping in this effort to overturn a cruel law that has already been overturned in Los Angeles and San Diego, but apparently Santa Cruz is just too progressive to do what Los Angeles and San Diego have done, which is to say, we won't arrest you, at least, until we have some legal shelter for you. Santa Cruz is above all that. They can just arrest at will under Mayor Riley and now soon under Mayor Coonerty.
Giving shindig. It's just afternoon on November 22nd, 2007, and we have two criminals here who've just been ticketed for sleeping on the beach. Your name, Mr. Criminal?
Oh, Zach Wise.
And you are?
Ella May.
And Ella May, what happened?
We went to Capitola,
And we got there really late, so we just fell asleep on the beach. Next morning comes up a ranger, just being a real dick. He cites us for sleeping on the beach. Make sure he runs our license, make sure our license were suspended. He tells us what it's suspended for, and then I'm going, but since we're sleeping on the beach, we have no car, we have no.
So we got there pretty late. That's the only reason why we slept on the beach, because we got there so late.
Now, have you been sleeping out every night?
Every night.
Yes, we have.
Mostly inside the city limits or outside?
Oh, inside the city limits, usually.
We sleep
but not this night at the Capitola.
No, at the Capitola, no.
We had no idea. We just went, we were tired, we didn't sleep. So, so he fucked with us a little bit. He gave us tickets. So he kicked us off the beach for 24 hours. We were going to go camp there.
Yeah, all we wanted to do was rent a space.
Yeah.
But then he said that we had to leave for 24 hours on top of that, so I didn't understand that exactly.
Yeah.
But all we wanted to do was rent a spot anyway.
We ran a license for some reason. There was no reason for rent a license. We had no car. We had no vehicle. We all had our gear next to us, and he ran a license to make sure that we knew what it was split for, how long it was.
Got two tickets. There were two notices to appear.
Oh, yeah.
Camping CCR 4451A.
Well, that's kind of... He said if we go to our fucking court date, he'd arrest us.
And then this is both for
camping
1023. So this is a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
This is a while ago.
Yes.
And this was your address is Coral Street.
Yep.
Which means you're homeless.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes. We were homeless.
So you guys were houseless. Houseless, but not hopeless.
Yeah.
But not necessarily very hopeful either.
Exactly.
Okay, well, the way to deal with these tickets, of course, is to take them to the Homeless Service Center. Try to get a letter for these dates.
Well, we got them written off. We did get them written off.
Get them written off already. Okay.
Right.
Well, they gave us the paperwork.
But
you haven't been to court yet?
No.
We want to leave this town. And we want to leave this town. I know they're going to come back. I'm going to probably arrest us for these tickets, but we're just leaving. We're leaving Santa Cruz.
If you want to leave us a forwarding address so we can get in touch with you, because I know you were with Homies for the Homeless and you got tickets at City Hall and that protest.
Yes.
Because, you know, you can be a part of the lawsuit still if you'd like.
Right.
Do you have a contact number yet where you can be reached?
Yes, we do. We have a phone number.
We have a phone number.
What is that number?
It's 831-424-428-1105.
Okay. Is that for broadcast or not?
Broadcast it.
Okay, so we can broadcast and we'll also make a note of it. In fact, I'll make a note of it now.
I want to make a note of the homeless shelter, too. Yesterday, there was people that brought in donations. Well, they got all pissed off and took them in the office. They want people going through them first. They wanted to go through them first. So the fight never closed, which is really stupid. I'm just like a little homeless person right now, but it's just ridiculous.
You felt that the staff had first preference?
Yes. And that's wrong. That's so wrong.
Well, that's the problem with people who donate to the homeless center or instead of to homeless people directly is that, you know, the staff can cream off what they want is the problem.
Well, that's wrong. I think it should be for the homeless people because I'm...
And Craig has a comment on that. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, thanks. I just came in and just caught the tail end of this, but I went out for a cigarette. But I know when I was at the homeless shelter, 2 years ago? Marcos' brother and his wife would sit on the collection box. That's what they did all day and go through it. And then they would go around and sell it to the people at the center there. Walk around in the morning and harass you to buy something generally. It does happen. I was just surprised to hear that when I walked in.
And it's interesting. We had a long discussion with, half-hour discussion on the phone with Franklin Williams, an instructor up at UCSC, who has a particular, his course involves people going out and cleaning up areas or offering services to folks. And he is on the board of directors of the Homeless Service Center, and he was concerned about inappropriate sanitary conditions in the kitchen. And he was able to find 6 dead rats in the kitchen. They tried to lock the kitchen to stop him from coming in. Ken Cole refused to, in essence, address the issue. The board refused to support him, although he's on the board. He's on the board of directors, Franklin Williams. And he's continuing to fight back around this issue, and he has some prestige. So it's certainly an issue where there have been a number of concerns and complaints from a number of people around a number of issues out at the Homeless Service Center.
Is this recently about the cafeteria?
Yes. Well, I think it was a month or two ago.
Yeah, because I know when I was there, I learned right away you do not go into breakfast there without your glasses. Just do not do that.
Well, you know, you've got to cook what you can find. That's what I say.
This wasn't cooked. It was moldy strawberries.
Oh, dear. Well, you know what they say. You can get
they were very fuzzy.
Well, methyl bromide.
And when you said dressed. Something about it, they said, if you don't like it, you can leave.
And in fact, if I remember, you came to Huff with a number of concerns about the homeless service center and how they were dealing with your property way back in the summer of 2006.
Oh well, Mark Martin, Jesus, I can't remember his name right now. You know what I'm talking about. Made 22 calls to get my stuff back.
Bob Patton.
No, that wasn't Bob Patton. That was.
Somebody from
Tenderfoot, what do you call him? Tenderfoot
Tim. Yeah.
Tim
Rinker does Humanity Tim for Rufford, the Homeless, yeah. Blogspot.com.
Yeah. Yeah, he told me he made 22 calls to try to get my stuff back. And when I went through my paperwork, you know, I have bags of paper. Keeping track of your paperwork when you're homeless is really impossible. I did see that my, my rent on that locker had been paid for another several weeks at the time that they took my stuff out. I called them the day before to tell them, this was after they had banned me, and so I called them to tell them I was going to come pick my stuff up the next day. And they had taken it out of my locker, and so I couldn't get it, and changed the lock, so I couldn't just get it out. And, yeah, Tim had to make 22 phone calls before he finally got someone that would answer him and return his call. David, who is in charge of the locker stuff there, finally called him back after 22 phone calls. Yeah, a lot of people went to a lot of trouble to help me get my stuff.
We had the case of a woman who actually was denied shelter because she had two dogs, and she was in her 60s, and she died this last winter, about a year ago, after a lot of her property was in dispute, and she kept having trouble getting her property returned, and I guess human rights organization activist Bob Patton tried to address that issue. A lot of problems, and not much accountability, and I know I don't get a phone call return when I call Ken Cole, the Homeless Service Center.
They didn't return the judge's call. Paige Smith recalled the judge in the last trial, at my last hearing, and she then continued it for, I think that was a Thursday or Friday, other than the hearing was, and so she continued it for until Tuesday. So that was five days or three business days or something. They didn't return a call.
In order to find out if you, in fact, had applied to Paige Smith, or whether the conditions were where medical marijuana was not allowed there, right?
I don't know the point of the judge's call. I had told her, I babble, I talk too much in front of judges. Lawyers hate me. But I told her that my mother had sent emails to everyone she could think of after the trial, and Paige Smith had sent me an email. I also got an email from the city manager's office who said that they were surprised to learn that their homeless services did not accommodate medical marijuana patients, but that they contracted for the county, therefore it was not their problem.
Yeah, as I recall, that was the key issue, and people can read about it in the August issue of Street Spirit, and I believe that's linked on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz for those of you who want to go online and read about it. The issue for Craig in these two trials he went to was whether the fact that he was a medical marijuana patient and there was absolutely a complete ban on all people who use medical marijuana, even though it's a legal medical treatment and an important one for people in California, whether that constitutes the right to say, well, you can't arrest someone for sleeping if all their options have been denied. And the judge in the first case said, yes, that's proven under the necessity defense. And in the second case, although the facts were identical, said no. And the only inference I had was that there was a political motive here, that the other judges or politicians or somebody had talked to her and said, you can't allow this guy to use the medical marijuana defense because then, I don't know, if everybody will, because most homeless people don't have medical marijuana cards, they can't afford them. You know? And most people aren't necessarily medical marijuana patients. But there is a certain percentage who are, and those people indeed, in essence, get a free pass to sleep outside, meaning they get harassed regularly, messed with, their property threatened and sometimes destroyed. And we've heard some more accounts of that earlier today when I was interviewing people in line. And they get to go to court to defend themselves against these issues. So what we want is, with this lawsuit, is an injunction that stops the police from even approaching a homeless person who is sleeping unless they have a shelter bed for them. That's what the Pottinger decision held in Miami, Florida back in 1998. The Jones decision, in essence, did the same thing. They said you can't A cop at least can't go up to a homeless person under a sleeping ban law and say, hey, can't sleep here, unless they have some place to send them. And even then, if there's obviously a real shelter differential, and they might be able to send a few people to shelter, but not all of them, they can't do what they have done since in Miami, which is keep a couple shelter beds open to use to threaten people. You have to move along here, you know, or we'll force you into this wretched shelter because we have two or three beds. We don't have accommodations for the overwhelming majority of people. Is that clear what I've said, Craig? I'm not quite clear. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Probably not, but I was thinking that it seems to me that the biggest problem that your homeless services has here is they're the only game in town, and they know it. You either have to deal with them and jump through their hoops and basically spend your entire life playing patty cake with them, or you go to jail. That's basically...
Or you have to certainly worry about going to jail under the sleeping ban, because that says after 11 o'clock at night it's illegal to sleep on any public property and on much private property in Santa Cruz.
Well, basically you're the bitch of the people over at Homeless Services, or you get to be do slave labor community service. I think it's a crime to criminalize people for being poor, myself.
Well, it's not for being poor. It's if just you're poor and then you have the arrogance to want to sleep at night. I mean, you can't have everything, Craig.
You mean sex is out of the question, huh?
That's another issue. We'll take that up later.
While we're on these issues, Robert, where are all the people who ate over at the Veterans Hall today supposed to use the toilet?
You know, that's an interesting question. Somebody did come up and ask about a bathroom. I don't know. Were you at the Vets Hall today?
I actually did end up there. I had a really wretched day. After I called you this morning, somebody who's a friend of mine, homeless person, who's volunteering over there, came over and talked to me. And we talked a while, and he, you know, I told him I'm not going to stand in line. I don't feel like going through all that crap, rigmarole to eat. And you know, by the time I get there, there won't be anything anyway. And he offered to get me something, but then he said they wouldn't let them do it. But anyway, I did end up hanging out there. I saw there was a huge line. And there were no toilets, and there were people staying there for 2 or 3 hours.
Well, there was always Lulu Carpenter's. You could go into Lulu Carpenter's and get thrown out, I guess.
You know, the coffee shops were the only place open. As I walked from one end of town to the other looking for somewhere to purchase something to eat and found nowhere, absolutely nowhere to eat. Pacific Thai, I ended up spending $15 on a plate of noodles that was worth about $7. But anyway... where was I?
There's toilets at the Vets Hall, and I...
No, there's no toilets there. I asked my friend, I said, well, you know, have you got to stand in line to use the toilet there? And he didn't really know.
Well, I think the toilets are indoors in the Vets Hall.
There's one, yeah, I know.
And the issue when you get indoors... often, and there's this, we've talked about this on the air, the vets no longer control the Vets Hall. It's controlled by Tim Bratton and Pat Clark and the kind of compliant board that lets Bratton do what he wants, and he's now operating it as a sort of a for-profit operation for the yoga people. At least that's the claim of vets who are trying to reclaim their hall. And if you try to walk in and use the bathroom, I think you mentioned you had an interesting experience when you tried to use the public bathroom there. And by public bathroom, I mean a bathroom that traditionally has been open to the community, but that Bratton apparently is closed, right?
Oh, well, yeah, they made that one evidently private toilet not open. They got a sign in the door now. I used to go in there in the mornings and use their toilet, and it was only one open. But the bushes need watering.
And here's more from the Thanksgiving meal.
I don't go there to get clothes. I go to wherever I can to get clothes.
What number?
But I'm just like a homeless person right now. That's what he said. But they want to take whatever they can first.
Well, did you see them actually?
Yes. There's a big stink.
They took stuff. Actually, you saw them leaving with items that were originally donated?
Yes.
That's him.
Yes.
Right there.
That's wrong.
Two kids. Okay. Well, again, we've been talking with Zach and
LMA.
All right, and hopefully you'll stay in touch with us so we can get in touch with you for the lawsuit.
We will.
Yes,
we really do love being here. We just can't afford being here.
I'm really sick right now, so my mom's going to get me a place. I have bronchitis and asthma, and I'm just really sick from sleeping outside. So we got to go inside.
We have.
Before I get pneumonia.
Now, this is 1105.
Yes. Monroe down to Britain.
Thank you. We're talking with...
James E. Tolisano.
And James, what happened to you?
Well, about 12 of us were sleeping on a loading dock that they allowed us over at Slacky Brothers or something, and they've been there for years, and all of a sudden we got three cop cars, six or eight cops on us at 6 in the morning giving out tickets.
Just inside the city limits or out, you know?
I believe that's in the Santa Cruz city limits, very close to the homeless shelter.
Did they give you a place to go, a legal place to sleep?
No, they told us, here's your ticket and get the hell out and don't come back.
How long ago was this?
It's about 3 to 6 months ago.
And have you been outside since?
Oh, yeah, I sleep out almost every night.
And has this experience impacted you? Has it happened again?
It hasn't happened again because they haven't caught me out where I am again, but they probably will, and what can I do? What I did, it's a $200 ticket, I think, but luckily I had Marcos at the shelter sign a letter saying
Marcos Banuelos.
I had no place to sleep, which he knows me, and they dismissed it, but who knows what's going to happen the second. It might work the first time, but it might not help the second
come
time.
Come to this meeting if you want.
I'll take a look at it. It might come. I love to bust their balls any way I can.
Find a way to stop them.
Stop them. Excuse my
language. You can bust their balls, too, if you'd like.
No, but the truth is, they're crookeder than the crooks.
Well, it's the wrong thing for them to do, anyway.
Right. I mean, why don't they go catch a real crook? Catch somebody who robs a bank or a big-time drug dealer or something.
That would be a little more difficult. It's easier to go after you guys.
Yeah, it's easier to catch the homeless. You know, the homeless who can't do anything, prey on the homeless. That's Limo Jim signing off.
Thank you, Limo Jim. You say you've been hassled for sleeping?
Several times I've had officers in the evening and the night come up with flashlights and scaring me in the night and telling me you can't stay here, you can't stay there, you have to leave. And usually it was along the lines that there's businesses in the area and we don't want to disturb them.
Where was this?
One time was in the downtown area.
Here in Santa Cruz?
Yes, here in Santa Cruz. And another was towards Capitola area in the shopping plaza villa after evening. And I was not disturbing anybody at the time. I was, you know, quiet and to myself. And
did they offer you a legal place to go?
No, actually they didn't.
Are you sleeping outside now?
I am still in my vehicle outside, yes.
Would you like to be part of a sleeping ban lawsuit?
Actually I could support that because I know how it feels to be
What's
out
your name?
My name is Michael G.
Michael, if you want, go over to the table there. As soon as somebody shows up at that table, it says abolish the sleeping ban. Again, I think Al is covering it, the guy with the coffee cup and the dark glasses. And just have somebody hold your place in line and just tell them, you know, give me your information, your contact number, how you can be reached, and then come to this meeting, which is on December 1st, 4 o'clock at Bob Nelson Center.
All right. All right. Thank you for reaching out to me and letting me know that there are other people like me, you care.
Well, you're welcome. So, want to go in line, put you in line again. We're talking with a guy who wants to be a member of the sleeping ban lawsuit. What's your name?
My name is Harley.
And Harley, you haven't got a phone or anything.
Nope.
But you have been ticketed for sleeping.
Uh-huh.
And you also have some concerns about safety for people in the Poconip?
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy people out there, and then there's, I don't know, some kind of guy who's going around killing people and writing no camping on their chest.
Now, do you know this by any direct experience, or from someone who actually saw it, or that's just what you've heard?
Well, that's what I've heard, but...
Yeah, because I'm still looking for the actual... It's a rumor, and I'm trying to get to nail it down. Okay, and I want to talk... You get to talk next to me. We're going to talk. So you're going to try to keep an eye on the situation, maybe come to this meeting around the sleeping ban if you can?
Yeah, if I can.
It'll be on Saturday after next, December 1st, Loud and Nelson.
All right, yeah, I should be free then.
Afternoon, popcorn, movie,
all right,
free sex. No, just kidding.
All right, cool. As long as free sex isn't with you.
Now, come on. I'm a good-looking guy. All right. Now we're talking with... What's your name?
Heather.
Hey, Heather. So I know we've talked before. How are you doing?
Good. I went to a meeting in the mayor's office, Mayor Gavin Newsom, in San Francisco, and I I tried to tell everybody in that meeting, it was a very important meeting at that time, that we need to lower the California rent prices. In every other state, look it up on the internet at homes.com or something. You can get an apartment for $300 to $500, even Humboldt, California. Every other state, two bedroom is $600 to $700. A house you can rent for $800 for a two bedroom house. In every other state, every other town in the United States.
What did Gavin say?
Okay. And in California, in the state of California, it's $1,500, $1,100 for a one-bedroom apartment, $3,000 for a two-bedroom, and to rent a house is like $5,000 a month. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. That is why there are so many homeless people in California. It's not a class problem. Everyone here has full potential to be rich, upstanding Americans if they could get a place to live so they could get a good job and become upstanding
citizens. It's a rent problem, in other words.
It's a rent problem. And plus, the minimum wage in other states is $5.50. The minimum wage here is $7.50. That's only $2 more when the rent is tripled, so it's impossible to actually make it. And it's true because human nature obviously provides what the standard rent prices should be in every other state. In the meeting that I went to, I proposed that we go to the Supreme Court and ask them to lower the rent prices in the state of California to standard American United States rent prices, as I just said. And they were like, oh, let's legalize marijuana because people need to sell pot to pay their rent or something. And I was like, okay, no, we don't need to legalize marijuana. We need to lower the price. Go to the Supreme Court, whatever you're doing, wherever you took it to legalize marijuana, go there with our petition signed by everybody saying that, oh, there's too many homeless people in California.
Heather, how long ago was this?
About last year.
About a year ago?
Yeah. And saying there's too many homeless people, we can't afford to pay rent, we love California, we're families, this is our home.
You know, the Supreme Court doesn't really take petitions from people. You have to have a legal case before them. And the problem is, of course, it takes you years to get there and hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I like the idea of going to somebody and asking for it, but I don't know if the Supreme Court is the person. But I'm glad you're raising the issue. No
okay.
question.
But the thing is they're like, let's legalize marijuana. In that meeting, they decided to legalize marijuana. They took the petition signed to the Supreme Court, and they legalized marijuana for medical purposes. Now, marijuana for medical purposes is legal instead of lowering the rent prices for the state of California.
Well, I think
should
it should be both. But I think remember that marijuana was legalized in this state for medical purposes in 1996 by voters. They didn't take it to the Supreme Court. They just voted. We all voted on it.
Right.
We passed it as Proposition 215.
Well, we need to vote to lower the rent prices.
I agree completely.
I didn't vote to legalize marijuana. I voted to lower the rent prices and help to find programs to get people jobs.
We do.
So people can have jobs and a house.
Now, would you like to work on that issue in Santa Cruz?
And a life. Yeah, in Santa Cruz and the entire state of California, the southern part.
It's expensive in California. It costs a lot of money to get that kind of a petition statewide, but it's important. But in Santa Cruz, you could get it for a lesser amount. Now, there might be more people interested in doing it locally.
Right.
So if you're interested, you might want to come to a HUF meeting, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. I'll give you one of my cards, which you probably have gotten already before.
We don't need to be homeless. We're not homeless people. We're good people. We're very good people. We just need to be able to physically pay our rent at a standard rent prices of the United.
I mean, I agree with you. Anyway, the meeting is every Wednesday at 9:30 in the morning in the county building, if you want to come. And there's also a meeting on Saturdays. You see, the times are... let's see, here we go.
11:30.
Now, we actually meet downstairs in the cafeteria during the winter, so that's where we're going to be. And there's also a meeting at 2 o'clock at 131 Front Street, right up the street, on Saturday, if you're interested. That's Human Rights Organization. Thank you very much. Appreciate you doing what you're doing.
Yeah, if you can go to the same place where you got the marijuana legal, you can go to the same place and lower the rent prices for California. And everybody can be rich and happy and have a family in California. It can be our home sweet home and our family.
Thanks, Heather.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, babe.
You know, Heather has got obviously a few things wrong there, but the basic point is really very true. People can't afford the rents, and politicians like Gavin Newsom, I'm not sure how he was involved with decriminalizing marijuana, if he even was, you know, she talked about a meeting last year. She's concerned about how rents are even more important issue than decriminalizing marijuana for most people, because rents affect more people than marijuana. I mean, they're both important issues. There's no question about it. And people like Newsom, politicians can have a lot of power in this situation if they choose to exercise it. The real problem with pandering to politicians or relying on them is that they don't ultimately come through on this stuff, that it's the community that comes through on this stuff, that it's the people who are most impacted by it that have to do the work to change it and educate the community to stand up and just say no. In the studio with me is Craig Canada. He's hanging tough here. Who knows? Maybe he's headed for a nice floor space tonight. Never can tell. I'm not sure what his plans are. What are you going to do there, Craig? You going to crash out at a park bench? Do we have any park benches? Parks are closed tonight. I'm sorry. That would be illegal under the park closing law.
You know, while I was sitting over here waiting at the bus stop, somebody asked me if I knew that the buses weren't running today. Oh, boy, do I know that the buses aren't running today. But that is the only place to sit down anywhere for blocks.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's illegal to sit on the sidewalk within 14 feet of a building. I think it's in most of the, certainly in all the business districts, which means downtown, Soquel Avenue.
You know, that just went right in one ear and out the other, Robert. I left my tape measure at home, and I don't have my slide rule with me.
Well, what it means is you don't sit on anywhere on the sidewalk because sidewalks are generally 10 feet wide, except for Pacific Avenue, and I guess some parts of Front Street.
Is that what it means?
That's what it means. It means don't sit down, or sit down in a sidewalk cafe or in a vehicle that you own. Or I guess you can sit on somebody else's vehicle until they come and shout at you.
Question, Robert. Now, am I supposed to find a place to sleep and find a place to eat and get a job and get a shower and take care of my and know all this stuff too?
We have a lot of confidence in your intellect, Craig. We know that you're a man of infinite resources, of exquisite fancy. What I'm going to turn to now, and by the way, you're listening to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris, I really do know what I'm about to talk about.
I didn't mean to derail you.
That's okay. No. A little levity. I'll just simply take care of you at one of our off-air breaks. The public records issue is one that, for me, is very important. For example, in this issue of the sleeping ban lawsuit, it's important to know who has gotten sleeping tickets in the last 6 months. So I filed a request to the police department to give me the names and where they were cited, the officers who cited them, of all people given tickets under the sleeping ban, or actually any part of the camping ordinance, since June 1st. And those of you who follow the show regularly know that it required a little bit of doing to get this from the police department, though they were surprisingly forthcoming. A little more difficult to get the Parks and Rec to give the ranger tickets out, but that, too, was allowed. The difficult item was the courts actually tracking what happened to people once they got the tickets, how much did they have to pay in the courts, and what kind of fines, what kind of trials did they get. What kind of bail was set, all that. That information, we were blocked from getting for many months, and even now it's only trickling out. They're giving us 20 cases a week instead of giving us full access to the records. When we originally went up to the windows, and you can find this whole story chronicled on Santa Cruz Indie Media, rather humorously in some respects, rather grimly in others, they sent out 5 deputies to stop us from doing this, claiming we were, quote, creating a disturbance. And all I was doing was I stood at the window and I said, this is a Public Records Act request for the court records of the following people. We want to examine those court records. And they refused to give us the records, but when I said to them with my tape recorder on, and they get very scared of tape recorders, are you then refusing this Public Records Act request? They said, no, we're not refusing it. And I said, well, then let's have the records. Said, no, I'm. Can you move away, sir, from the window? And I said, no, I will as soon as you tell me you're refusing the Public Records Act request. Instead, they called the deputies because, you see, they figured they just want to use the police to intimidate you, but they don't want to be held accountable for what they do. Well, ultimately, as I said, we're able to get a dribble and a drabble of public records, and we do need actually people's help in organizing those public records appropriately. But most recently, I made another Public Records Act request.
Well, you know, Robert, that should be real incentive, knowing that they're going to have 5 deputies called on them if they try to help
you. It's an opportunity to mix it up with the deputies. I mean, and some of them are pretty good-looking people, I got to tell you. And their guns are big, and they got the shiny uniforms. But actually, when the deputies did come, they tried to tell me to leave the building, and I said, no, I'm here on a Public Records Act request. and they eventually left. The next time we went down, they called two deputies. The next time they called one deputy, and the next time we got the records. It's kind of strange, but that's sort of how
attrition.
It goes. Yeah, I guess they gave up. I mean, you would think that, you know, I mean, it's just an example of the kind of bullying and bluffing that they do with the police force. And, you know, it's not, I'm not the bravest person in the world, but when I got a tape recorder and in some cases a video camera with me, I'm a little braver. And that's something for us to know. Here's a situation, I'm about to play this tape, where I made a request from the police department for the most recent sleeping van tickets. And in the last request I made, I got a lot of trouble from Tricia Hewsome, and I've talked about this on the air, in terms of throwing a lot of static in my way, requiring I make several requests, and then requiring I come in and put down money in advance, and then requiring I come and pick up some of them and clarify something else, and then repeat a request. And I finally sent a long complaint. And I got a call from Captain Clark, who wanted me to come in to interview me about my complaint. And I said, be happy to do it, provided I can keep a tape recording of my side of the interview. And he declined to do that, which he can't do legally. He's violating the law. He's denying me my rights. But then again, Captain Clark has never been terribly fastidious about those things ever since his kicking the homeless awake days when he was an officer on the beat. And I'm not trying to be nasty to Clark. I'm trying to be accurate, although I am negative. And Clark is the only officer on the Santa Cruz Police Force who has actually ever assaulted me. He did so at a city council meeting where Rotkin had me arrested for standing at the microphone and trying to talk for a total of 2 minutes. I was denied even that right under Rotkin's new gag rule that he created in 2005 at the city council. But getting back to the public records situation, you're about to hear the police department. I thought they'd mellowed. They'd said, come on in, pick up the records after 7 days. They usually have to do it within 10. I came in, and here's what happened. We're talking with
Michael Strong.
Michael, is it okay if we... As soon as I put on the right tape, that is. Michael Strong has got an interesting story, but that's not the story we're about to pursue. Here again is the police department from, I think it's from day before yesterday.
And it's about 5 to 2 at Santa Cruz Police Department on November 20th, I believe we're at. 20th? It's a Tuesday. Yes, it is. Going to pick up a document given by Tricia Hewsome, or I should say released by Tricia Hewsome, about sleeping van tickets. You have to pay $8.40 for.
Hi. I think you've got something for me from Tricia. Okie dokie. And there's also a...
And what I'm being handed here is an envelope with a check in it, which is the residue of money I paid them requesting the series of police dispatches around the Homies for the Homeless demonstration at City Hall. You may remember this was the demonstration that went on for 6 days at City Hall where homeless people formed their own campground, and then the Sentinel smeared them to death, and the police department claimed that there had been all kinds of problems, feces on the wall and drug deals and abusive conduct of different kinds. I asked for the records to show what kind of complaints actually came out of City Hall, and I got, this is where I had a lot of trouble from Tricia Hewsome, who was the records secretary, and I got some of the records, and I got what's called the incident recall. The incident recall is the actual, it's a transcript of the traffic between the police dispatcher and the police officer responding to the call, indicating what call comes in, who's complaining, and so forth. And a lot of these records are redacted, that is to say, blacked out. So you can't see all the information. You can see some of it. And I wanted to know, they were not going to let me look at the records. They were going to insist I buy them up front before being allowed to look at them, which I objected to. And then they wouldn't give me an exact cost. And they insisted I put down a $40 deposit, which I eventually did. But then they wanted more if they were going to go further. And I said, well, print out some of the records so I can see them. And then when they printed out part of the records, they said, you have to make a new Public Records Act request. This went on for some time. And it seemed clear that they were being unnecessarily obstructive and bureaucratic, specifically Tricia Hewsome was. And we had a long round delay with this, which I said ended up with Captain Clark's come in and I make a complaint to us. I said, I made a complaint. It was by email. You have my complaint. And that was that. And so far, and I haven't heard anything further about that. This kind of hollow, booming conversation you just heard, I just got back the check residue from that prior situation where I paid some money for some of the pages of that whole dispatch exchange with the homeless incidents down at City Hall way back in August. I got back some money. But that was not why I was coming in. I was coming in for this new Public Records Act request, which had to do with getting sleeping band tickets and finding out who'd gotten them, how many, what officers gave them, where they were given, and so forth. And that document, I've been told by Tricia Houston, would be available. I wouldn't have to come in advance and put down money in advance. It would be there for me. A change in their policy, perhaps created by my complaints, actually, or perhaps created out of the wonderful kindness and goodness of their hearts. I kind of doubt that, but who knows? Usually it's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease, particularly when you start sending comments to the newspapers and so forth like that. They don't like that kind of thing. Light sometimes has a very kind of salutary effect on these kinds of dark corners. But one thing they're sensitive about, and there are signs posted in the lobby, they don't want you to make a tape recording of what's going on in the police department, even though they have a video recording, because they have a camera that's shining down on you and keeping a record of what you're doing. Now, this is completely, I don't want to say it's illegal, but it's completely false to inform the public that they can't tape record. They can. But when they see a sign that says no tape recording in the police department, they are intimidated from exercising their rights, at least those of them who don't know what their rights are. I, on the other hand, because I know that you're allowed to make a tape recording of any public interaction you have, even if the other person doesn't want you to. The only time that you are not allowed to do that is if it's in a confidential setting and you're doing so without informing the other person, and you are the other person has an expectation of privacy. But when you're dealing with a public official in the police department, there's no expectation of privacy, and they're a public servant as well. So that's not the issue. The reason this whole thing came up in city departments was in 2000, the homeless movement, HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and other groups were trying to get extra shelter for the homeless at Christmas time. And we did what's called the coffee clatch. The coffee clatch was a situation where we offered coffee to homeless people every morning and invited them to come down to the mayor's office and suspend the sleeping ban and set up additional shelter, at least talk to council members about this, before city council disappears for the winter. Usually they have one meeting in December and they're gone. That's what they're going to do next month. In response, then-Mayor Fitzmaurice, not liking the homeless people who were gathering, started accusing us of being abusive to his staff, stealing their pencils, being too loud in the office. Well, we started tape recording everything to indicate and to clarify and to keep a record that we were not doing this, that we were, in fact, behaving properly, that we were citizens waiting for city council members. So as a consequence of that, Fitzmaurice then promulgated a new set of rules that began in 2000 and spread to every department, which stated you shall not tape record in any public office. Well, I always tape record whenever I have communications with anybody, A, for broadcast purposes, because I think the community might want to know about it if it's a matter of public interest, but B, for my own protection. If they're going to accuse me of criminal behavior, I'll keep a record of what goes on, and I'll show there's no criminal behavior at all. And particularly if I'm finding I'm having problems with the people involved. So hence with Tricia Houston in the records department, I was going to come in and simply get the records, and I turned on the tape recorder. This is what followed.
An item which is a 8-page, I think it's maybe even more. It says, cost me $8.40. She informed me by email day before yesterday.
The woman behind the counter is trying to find it, looking for it. She's in this big glass cage. We're separated by kind of, might even be bulletproof glass, for all I know. And she doesn't speak to you directly. She speaks through a microphone that comes out through a speaker.
Some interesting fee schedule here, effective March 5th. Alarm registration is $5. False alarm, third in 30 days, is $25 each. A citation sign-off is $9. civil subpoenas are $150.
And I'm reading here to you.
No.
What happened here is she just said, will you turn off the tape recorder? And I said, no.
Go ahead with what you want to say.
Then repeated it at the back of
being refused service at the window by an employee when I'm seeking to have a public record here as I'm waiting to pick it up per the email which I earlier received from Tricia Houston of the Records Department. And I was asked to turn off the tape recorder, and I said no. But I wanted to get my business done. Hey, Tricia, got what I'm looking for?
If you put that away, I'll respond.
Okay, now are you refusing to give me that? Because I think I have a right to record interactions with employees. What?
In a meeting. I didn't know you were coming. I'm going to go back into my meeting. Okay?
Well, you've got your item in your hand. I don't see why you can't hand it to me. I got the money right here if you want it. You're refusing to give it to me. Okay, that's fine. I'm sorry to see that. Have a good day.
And what happened there was essentially I documented the fact that, although you can't really see it, she had the document to give to me. She was in a rather hostile mood, but she declined to give it to me because she wanted me to turn off the tape recorder first, which is a completely inappropriate request. There are two independent issues here. One is whether she has a right to not to be tape recorded, which she doesn't, and she probably knows that by now, or should. And the second one is whether I have the right to the Public Records Act, or the public records that I requested under the Act. And she had sent me an email the day before that said they were ready and available at the window. They weren't when I arrived. She came out with them, but then she refused them. So I sent her subsequently an email that said, it's really inappropriate what you did. I'm going to start billing you for every time I have to come down to the police station and you deny me access to the records. It's going to cost me money and time, and that's fine. The police department is now going to be responsible for those costs. And what happened? The next day, which was yesterday, I went in with two other witnesses and a tape recorder again, and the records were given to me immediately. There was no delay. And the woman behind the counter would not say who she was. She wouldn't talk to me. She would write things on a piece of paper stating what her response to my questions was because she didn't want to be on tape. As far as I'm concerned, you know, that's foolish and kind of childish and sort of paranoid. But, you know, if she wants to conduct business that way, I suppose it can be done that way. It seems rather inefficient way of dealing with the police department business.
Do you get the piece of paper with her written testimony on it?
Well, I got a piece of paper which gave her, she wouldn't give her name. This is the woman at the window, not Tricia Houston, but she gave her number.
Do you get to this paper that she uses to communicate with you? Do you get to keep that?
Sure. I mean, she handed it to me. It wasn't really an issue. I mean,
Oh, well, that's better than a tape recorder, isn't it?
Well, it is, but I mean, she wasn't denying me the records. She was just refusing to deal with me in a rather straightforward, human, and obvious way. She was trying to punish me for using the tape recorder.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. Now, she gave you the records, but did you also get the paper where she wrote her responses to you rather than saying them?
I think she offered me the paper, and I may still have the paper. I haven't regarded it as terribly significant because, again, Tricia Houston, the woman who's the records person who really is to blame on this situation because she's the one who had the documents in her hand the day before and didn't give them, didn't write out responses. She just spoke, and you can hear her kind of in the distance speaking through the speaker system saying, I won't talk to you with that tape recorder in your hand in so many words.
Yeah, so this is all about incidents at the demonstration. This is what you're getting here, is that right?
No, this is about sleeping band tickets in the last 6 months in the city of Santa Cruz generally. Who has gotten them? What officers gave them, where they were given. In other words, the record of who the sleeping band ticket situation since June 1st.
Oh, I thought you were trying to get incidents that of
right, and I did. And you're right. That's what I tried to get before. After a long rigmarole, I got some of that. My problem with that, frankly, is it's in kind of a cryptic code. If you look at the incident recalls that I did get, they're hard to interpret. And I'm actually looking for experts, all you experts out there, anybody who knows about something about translating police dispatcher stuff that's transcribed, I'd like to know. Give a call to the Huff line at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org, and this is the last 10 minutes of the Bathrobes Piers Broadsides show. That's my show. I'm Robert, and in the studio with me is Craig, who's a genuine homeless man, and he's can give you a perspective from, you know, shoe leather side of the sidewalk, and he has been. What I'm going to play for you on Sunday when I come back at 9:30 in the morning, although maybe in early, a little earlier, is what happened yesterday when I went in with the two witnesses to get the records. It isn't terribly exciting. But what was exciting was what happened half an hour later when we went to the parking authority to try to get the parking records of a woman whose vehicle has been booted and seized, a poor woman named Linda LeMaster. Formerly, interestingly enough, she was the chair of the Homeless Issues Task Force. But they apparently have now illegally seized her car and are using a very bizarre procedure to keep it, and I'm trying to keep the public records away. The woman who controls the department, the parking office boss at that location where you normally pay your parking tickets, I think it's on Locust Street, called the police, and five police officers showed up to grill us that we were at the window, and I recorded most of that, and we'll be hearing that.
So these people, Robert, you are taking an extraordinary amount of the police force in this town. Now, this is twice you've mentioned tonight that you had five officers.
Five deputies in the first case.
Oh,
this
well.
Is five police officers.
Well, does that mean two and a half police officers is equal to five deputies?
It's a good question. That's hard to tell. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Craig and Robert.
Hi, Robert. They grabbed the sticker mobile once when I was on vacation, and I had three tickets.
Uh-huh.
But and business was really slow, and it took me a while to bail it out. But the Doggeris Towing, they are the slimiest, scummiest, idiotic group in Santa Cruz. Don't use Doggeris Towing over by Soquel. And they make you go down there and pay cash. No, they take your credit card, and then they say, oh, you have to pay cash. So I paid them cash.
Are they related to the Patels?
Can you not interrupt? I paid them cash, and then they billed my credit card. So I had to. They're fucking running a racket over there.
What's the name of this
group? They're running Doggeris Towing.
Doggeris.
And they make you pay, give a credit card, and then they make you pay cash, and then later they bill your credit card again, and then they say we never got the cash.
Interesting.
They're really scummy. Nobody used Doggeris Towing for anything.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too.
Have a turkey day. Bye.
Yes. And gobble gobble. Yeah, actually, I think it was North County Tow that took Linda LeMaster's vehicle. But, you know, that it's a really interesting and important question what the rights are of poor people whose vehicles are towed. Because for some people who live in their vehicles, that's their home. And it's becoming increasingly difficult with all the public parking lots now throwing you out after 15 minutes because you can park your vehicle, but you can't sit in it thanks to the new Coonerty law, which goes into effect tomorrow, folks, November 23rd, a month after it was passed. The parking lot panic law does go into effect. It's bad news, and I'm going to be talking more about that, about the city council agenda coming up on Tuesday, and something that's going to be happening on Tuesday, oral communication for those of you who want to speak at city council on any subject whatsoever. It's going to happen, as usual, at an inconvenient and uncertain time at the end of the afternoon agenda on Tuesday. So you're going to have to sit down through this entire absurd city council meeting. I don't know if it's absurd. It's long and tedious, and the public has very little access. But that's going to now be required. Instead of locating it at the beginning of the meeting, which would be fair enough, you come and have your say and leave, they're going to make you sit down through the end of it, which I think is primarily concerned with, well, it certainly involves discouraging the public. And I suppose they would claim that they want to let the staff off early and so that they give them more time and that would spend the money for the public's use of the staff better. But the public is really the issue here. And when they're denied access to the mic, it's a serious issue. Also coming up tomorrow, I don't know that there is any, usually there's a sort of a customary feast or a coronation or chat after the council meeting with little drinks and num-nums at the edibles in the Civic Auditorium. That may or may not be happening, but the city council will be retiring to a place which is, they probably don't want you to follow, but since they're there, all seven of them, you have a right to follow. I'm going to try to find out where that is so we can go after them. Hi there, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Hello, Robert. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Hi.
Actually just tuned in this last, 15 minutes. I've been kind of busy, but I met a few really nice homeless people downtown, so I decided to cook up a batch of some barbecue baby back ribs and some roasted corn and some creamy Parmigiano noodles, and I'm going to go feed them, and I'm having a good time. What can I say?
Sounds good, Andrea.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, but I'll talk to you later.
All right, babe. Bye-bye. Yeah, my hat's off to all the people who are being generous on Thanksgiving. You know, it's interesting how, the holidays can bring out this great spirit, but that's, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days a year. The real question is what happens the other 362 days, and that's what I'm really talking about. Craig, any final thoughts before we head on down the frosty road?
No, I can't think of much of anything. Someone did do a nice thing. When I woke up this morning, somebody left me $5. I thought that was nice. I didn't particularly need it, but I didn't refuse it. What can I say? I said I didn't need it, but I can certainly use it. But it's not all bad. But it seems to me that the people who are the worst are the people who have the most.
I often hear that. I want to thank you for being with me on this edition of Bathrop's Piers Broadsides. Remind you that the Human Rights Organization, if you want to be a part of this effort to end the sleeping ban, meets on Saturday, 2 o'clock, Firefly Cafe, 131 Front Street. You want to get involved, give a call to the HUF line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And the number is easy, 423-HUF, 423-4833. The show's archived at www.hufsantacruz.org. I hope the last one wasn't, but I think I got a backup copy of this. If anybody has a backup copy of the Sunday show, please give me a call on the HUF line at 423-HUF. I want a copy of it. Thanks again. I'll be with you again on Sunday. Until then, keep your eyes open and speak out.
It's a hard thing to do, spending time here makes me so sad and blue. My heart is in the mountains, it's where I want to be. So mountain lady, where are you? I need you next to me. it's a hard thing to do. Spending time here makes me so sad and blue. My heart is in the mountains, it's where I want to be. So mountain lady, where are you? I need you next to me. So mountain lady, where are you? I need you next to me.
Before it rained, that rode us all the way into New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana, and I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues, yeah. Windshield wipers slapping timers, holding Bobby's hand in mine, we sang every song that Daddy knew. freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, don't mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Yeah, and feeling good was easy, love. Bobby sang a blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby McGee. From the Kentucky coal mines to the California sun, Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Through all kinds of weather and through everything that we've done, said Bobby, baby, he kept me from the cold. One day up near Salinas, snowed, I let him slip away. But he was looking for that home, and I hope he finds it. But I trade all of my tomorrows for one single yesterday, to be holding Bobby's body next to mine. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, that's all that Bobby left me. Yeah. Feeling good was easy, Lord. Bobby sang the blues. I said, feeling good was good enough for me. It's good enough for me and my Bobby McGee. La da da, la da la da, la da 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 da, la da 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 da, Bobby McGee. La da da, la da la da da, la da 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 da, la da 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 da, Bobby McGee. La da 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 da, la da da na 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 na. Na 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 Bobby McGee, la na 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 na. Hey, na Bobby, la na Bobby McGee, yeah. Hell, I call him my lover, I call him my man. I said I call him my lover, I do the best I can. I said, come on, Bobby, Lord, come on, Bobby McGee, yeah. Lord, 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 Lord.
That's when somebody else has to take over.
You top of the slide. And I stop and I turn and I go for a ride. And I get to the bottom and I see you again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But do you, don't you want me to make you? Mm-hmm.